River Church, how we doing? Happy Father's Day to all of our dads out there. I wanted to show you guys something really quickly. You guys see this? It says, best dad ever. So just in case there's any doubts, just in case there's any confusion, you're looking at him, okay? You're looking at him. Last year, I got a hat that said world's best dad, I said awesome dad, so I went up from awesome dad to best dad ever. So just so you know, if you need some dad tips after service, you can come see me. I'll help you out. Oh, man. All right, so happy Father's Day. I do want to say before we begin, dads matter, amen? Dads are important. Dads are valuable. Dads make a difference. Dads, you stand in the gap. And not just dads, but grandfathers and father figures. You may not have had a biological dad in your life, but you may have had a father figure, a stepfather, somebody who stood in the gap, who loved you, who served you, who taught you what love looks like, what God looks like in many ways. And so I just want to say before we begin, dads, father figures, stepfathers, granddads, you matter. And you make an incredible difference in the lives of those who come after you. To be a father figure is one of the greatest callings a man can have in his life. Amen? It's one of the greatest. And not only that, it is an incredible, incredible honor to be considered a dad or a father figure in somebody's life. And so we honor you today. We love you. We are grateful for you, for those who stand in the gap and show us who Jesus is. Amen? Amen. So before we begin, actually, I want to just pray and ask for a special blessing over our father figures, our dads in the space today, and then we'll get started. God, I love you. Thank you for the men in this room who are dads or father figures, grandfathers, who stand in the gap, who teach us and show us what the love of our Father in heaven looks like. We learn a lot from the love of our Heavenly Father, from the father figures we have in our lives. And so, God, we're grateful for men who love you and love those that they get to cherish and teach and serve in so many ways. And so, God, I just pray a special blessing and favor on our dads and father figures and grandfathers in the room today, God, that you would encourage them, you would strengthen them, you would let them know that you love them, let them know that you care about them. And though we oftentimes don't feel like we're enough, that they could look to you and know that they have a Father in heaven they can look to and gain strength and wisdom and knowledge from, so that they can stand in the gap for those who come after them, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So today, we are almost finished. If you've been tracking along with us, the last, 7 weeks now, we've been going through a series called Citizens of Heaven, and so we're almost done. As a matter of fact, next week is our last week in the Citizens of Heaven series, and once again, if you've been with us, it's really kind of a series on the Beatitudes, the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. We're calling it Citizens of Heaven because Jesus oftentimes in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, calls the disciples and the people he's talking to, members of the kingdom of heaven. And so what we understand is Jesus is teaching and showing and telling us how Christians, if we're Christians, how we are citizens of heaven and citizens not of an earth or of an earthly kingdom, but of a heavenly kingdom. And if we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom, that means we're called to live differently, look differently, act differently than those who are members of an earthly kingdom, because our allegiance is not to a king of this world, but to a king of our heavenly kingdom. Amen? And so we don't look at how the world lives around us or kings of this world tell us to live. We look at how our Heavenly Father tells us to live, and we follow his example and we do what he says. And so Jesus tells us a lot of countercultural stuff. He talks a lot about a lot of different countercultural things in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Things like, again, somebody slaps you, hit them back real hard, right? Things like that. One person was listening on that joke, or maybe it just wasn't funny, right? If someone hits you, turn the other cheek. Love someone unconditionally. Forgive someone over and over and over. And they're good ideas, but they're countercultural, aren't they? Very different. And so there's a way of life that Jesus calls us to live. And so that's really what we've been walking through and talking about in this series. And I know today's Father's Day, and matter of fact, Pastor Ryan, the guy with the big beard up here on the stage earlier, sent me a video this week, and it was the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day in churches. And so it was a video of Mother's Day, and the preacher was up, and he was like, "Moms, you're amazing. Moms, you're doing wonderful. You are loved. You are so, moms, you are so special. You are the best. Here's a flower. You are just amazing. And then it's like flips to Father's Day and it's like, Dad, you stink. You're doing a terrible job. You need to do better, right? We've been there, haven't we? Like, I hope you feel awful. You need to walk out here and do better. Amen? So that's where we're going to go today. It's going to be fun, right? So, no, I'm just kidding. The reason I brought that up is because if you were here on Mother's Day, we were in this series, and our topic was, blessed are those who mourn. What a fun day for Mother's Day, amen? What a fun one for Mother's Day. Well, don't worry, guys. We are equal opportunity offenders here at the River Church. Today is blessed are those who are persecuted. Who's excited about that? Who wants to talk about some persecution today, all right? We won't be doing any examples after service, okay? Don't worry, all right? And I know you're probably surprised, but this is the topic in the Beatitudes that I really wanted to talk about the least, to be honest. Why? Because we don't really like to talk about persecution, do we? I don't, right? Our hope and what we want for our Christian walk is that it's just a life of blessing, right? Where we just kind of float from blessing to blessing and thriving, and we love Jesus and everything goes great and everything gets better. And we love the idea of, hey, if I live like Jesus tells me to and I do the things that Jesus wants me to do, then he will give me that blessed life, amen? That those, right, we love those verses that are all about like follow Jesus and here comes the blessing, right? We want to follow Jesus into prosperity. Amen. Hey, that's not a bad thing. I want that, right? Like if you want it, like, no, I want my life to be terrible. Don't be around me, right? Like, no, we do want life to be good. We do want life to be a blessing. We do want to walk in prosperity, but we don't get excited about the verses in Scripture where Jesus talks about following him to persecution, do we? We don't get anybody excited about that this morning? Well, sorry. One, thank you. And what we're going to see is that oftentimes we have this idea and our hope, and it's my hope too, that I follow Jesus and I serve Jesus and there's blessing and my life is fantastic and wonderful, but we get wrapped up kind of in this idea of a karma gospel where we think, hey, if I do good and I do what Jesus wants, then everything's going to go great for me. And unfortunately, what we often find in life is that's not our life experience, is it? As a matter of fact, Jesus is going to say, not only is it that when you follow me, will things not always go perfect for you, there might even be people who hate you because of it. There might even be people who persecute you because of it. There might be people who just simply hate you for my name's sake. And yet, he says, when that happens, you are blessed. And we listen to that and go, what? Makes no sense, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me read it. We'll talk about it. And maybe we can understand why Jesus says we are blessed even when we are persecuted. Starting in Matthew 5, I'm going to start here in verse 3. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen. That's my favorite one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward in heaven is for your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now let's be honest. Jesus just told us, when you're persecuted, you're blessed. When people talk trash about you and say all kinds of evil about you for my name, you're blessed. As a matter of fact, he said, rejoice when they persecute you. Rejoice when they lie about you. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? When someone lies about me, I'm just like, praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right? Someone persecutes me, praise you, Lord. I'm so happy, right? Come on, let's be honest. That's a bunch of baloney, right? If I started talking trash about you and spreading lies about you, the last thing you're going to be saying is, thank you, Pastor Mike. I am so grateful for you. If not, let me give it a try, right? Let's try it out, right? No, this is crazy. Like, I even imagine, like, think about this. As Jesus is giving this sermon, he's giving this talk, I can just imagine the crowd just being like, this guy's crazy, right? And even the disciples who'd been following him, I can imagine they're thinking, we need to rethink some life choices here, right? Like, we've been following this guy? Jesus isn't saying, hey, when people lie about you, get excited. He's not saying, hey, if people persecute you, get excited. No, there's two key phrases there that are really the key to the entire passage. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted, and here's the phrase, because of righteousness. Blessed when they lie about you and say every kind of evil against you because of me. He's not just saying, like, hey, when life is terrible and people are talking trash about you and people are lying about you and people are persecuting you. He's not just saying, no, you should be excited about that. No. He's saying, no, you're blessed when people hate you because of me. Blessed when people talk trash about you because you're living like me. There's a differentiation there. You see what I'm saying? There's a differentiation there. And he's saying, if you live a life reflecting what I'm teaching you in the Beatitudes, if you live a life reflecting what I'm about to teach you in the Sermon on the Mount, there's a good chance you will be persecuted, but you need to change the way you see that persecution. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 through 13, Jesus says, there's a good chance you're going to be persecuted. Timothy says this, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And I don't know what that word all means to you, but I'm pretty sure that means, that's scary, isn't it? Are you excited about that today? Happy Father's Day, right? Pastor told me I'm going to be persecuted. Woo, right? But if we're honest, and again, I know it's church, tough to be honest in church. But if we're honest and we think about the things that Jesus is saying, like when he says, yeah, and even Timothy, all who follow Jesus will face some kind of persecution. We think about that, and again, if we're honest, it doesn't really make sense. And here's what I mean by that. When you think about the things that Jesus teaches, you think, why would someone want to persecute somebody for that? Why would someone want to hate someone for that? I mean, look at what, even in the Sermon on the Mount, like these are the things that Jesus is teaching. Be a peacemaker. Why would someone want to persecute someone for being a peacemaker? Be pure in thought and action. Be wise in your speech. These are things that Jesus teaches all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. I literally went through it and was just pulling things out to think, why would someone want to persecute somebody for this? Love all people, he teaches, even your enemies. Why would anybody want to persecute me for that? Don't be a harsh judge of people. Depend on God for everything. Do for others what you would want them to do for you. Guard your heart against false teachers. Why would anybody have a problem with that? And even the core of the gospel, that there is a God who loves you and cares about you and desires a relationship with you. Why would anybody have a problem with that? Well, the gospel at its core is offensive to man. And here's why. Because the gospel at its core teaches there's something wrong with you. And we don't like to be told that. That there is something lacking in you. And everything in our culture is against that, right? Hey, you're perfect the way you are. You don't need to change. Everything is great. You are wonderful just the way you are. And you are wonderful people, I'm sure. But we still need Jesus. And the gospel at its core is offensive because the gospel teaches that you have, if you have sin in your heart, you need a Savior to heal that, transform that, forgive you of that. And that at its core is offensive. It's offensive. And so there will be people that hate the gospel for that reason. But even think about the things that Jesus teaches, like live a life of peace. How can that be offensive? Well, think about this. There are people in our world who hate peace. And they will do everything they can to take that peace away from anybody around them. They love war and they love hate. And if you speak peace, they will call you a coward. If you speak peace, they will call you weak, especially us men on Father's Day. No, you should want to fight and hit somebody back if they wrong you. Don't turn the other cheek, you coward. No, we speak peace. We are peacemakers. What? Live a life of purity in thought and action. Why would anybody hate us for that? Well, because if you don't live a life of purity, especially when it comes to things like sexual purity and things like that, the world will say, you're against my freedom. How dare you? If you live a life that says, I love all people, even my enemies, there will be people who are racist who will say, I hate you because you stand for equality. No amens on that one? Just a bunch of racists, I guess. I'm just kidding. Easy, I'm just playing with you. If you stand for equality, there will be people who hate you because of it. How about this? If you say, I love all people, even my enemies, there will even be religious people who hate you because they'll say, you should hate people who aren't like us. You should hate people who have a different lifestyle than us. Even religious people will persecute you for that. But Jesus said, love all people, even my enemies. There will even be people who say, well, if they're not of your religion, you should hate them too. How is the gospel offensive? Because there are people who don't want Christians to love all. They want division, because division messes this whole thing up. You live a life that depends on God for everything, there will be people who don't believe in God who call you a fool. You try to guard your heart against false teachers, there will be people who say, no, you can't believe that there's only one truth. You can't believe that the Bible holds the answers. You can't believe that the Bible is infallible. We should accept all truth, because my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth, and whatever I think is truth, amen? You shouldn't amen that, that's not true. They will say what's true for you is true for you, but not necessarily true for me, and so they will hate you because you say, I go to God for my truth, because I believe in objective truth, and that is offensive. If you say there's such thing as truth that does not depend on our opinions, they will say you are close-minded. So how will they persecute you? Well, I just gave you a whole bunch of reasons why somebody might persecute you. You see, a lifestyle following Jesus is offensive to many because Jesus calls citizens of heaven, Christians, to a countercultural lifestyle. And here's the thing is, it's not even about you getting up and preaching and saying, this is the way things should be and all these things. It's just literally living the lifestyle that Jesus calls us to can be offensive to people without even using your words, right? Because I'll give you an easy example. You just following Jesus points out the differences between you and someone who's not following Jesus. You don't even have to say your words. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to condemn them. You don't have to, just you following Jesus with your life points out the differences in people who aren't following. And you're not trying to, but it does, right? I'll give you an easy example. Say you're like, you know what? I'm gonna better myself. I'm gonna start going to the gym. You start getting in shape, or I'm gonna start eating healthier. I'm gonna get another degree because I wanna get another job. I'm gonna get a degree. You doing that begins to point out to all the people around you who aren't doing that they ain't doing that. You following me? And it's not an intentional thing you do, it's just a life decision you make. I'm gonna start going to the gym. Well, all of a sudden, all the people who are not going to the gym around you start feeling real insecure because they start noticing that extra 10 pounds, you know what I'm saying? In the same way, maybe not the same way, but kind of, when we follow Jesus and honor Jesus with our lives, it can be offensive. And then, of course, there will be people who are just offended by the truth of the gospel that we need a Savior. That we in our own need a God who can heal us and transform us and forgive us. And there will be people who persecute you just because Jesus simply is offensive to them for that reason. So what do we do? Well, Jesus says you're blessed when that happens. He says, take heart. Why? Go back to verse 10. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Here's what's pretty cool. Jesus just said, if you're following me, if you're walking in my ways and people persecute you for it, it's kind of evidence that you're headed to heaven. Praise God. It's evidence that you're a Christian. It's evidence that you're on the right path. Now, I'm not saying go out there and start trying to offend people, right? Like, I'm going to offend you so I can go to heaven. No. No, I'm saying if you're living a righteous lifestyle following Jesus, and it's offensive. It's evidence that you're headed to heaven. Then he says, you are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and say and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. Praise God. Amen. Now, I don't know what that reward is. You can clap. That's right. I don't know what that reward is. But whatever it is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be cool with it. Amen? Right? Whatever it is, like, thank you, Jesus, right? Even a little mansion in heaven is a pretty awesome mansion, okay? Pretty sure it's better than anything we can afford in this market, right? Hey! Sorry. And he says, be glad and rejoice because your reward in heaven is great, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What he said is, when people hate you because of me, when people persecute you because of me, you're in pretty good company. You're in pretty good company. Because there are men and women, you know, sometimes we get offended about some really silly things, but there are men and women who are still, who have gone before us, and even to this day, facing persecution, like real persecution. Like, not they didn't get their Starbucks on time, okay? Like real persecution. Like torture and hate and fear for their families. And there are men and women who have given their lives for their faith. And Jesus says, when you're persecuted and you're hated because you're following me, you're loving me, you're serving me, you're in pretty good company. And there's men and women that you can look up to and see how they went before you, how they did it, how they honored Jesus with how they walked through it. And that's a pretty cool thing. And it's a pretty high honor. In a sense, a pretty high honor. That's encouraging. We say, what do we do? I don't know, just get persecuted, all right? Love you guys. See you next week, right? No, here's the thing. Until we get to heaven and we have that heavenly reward, or we experience that, whatever that reward is in heaven, or we see those witnesses who've gone before us and faced persecution, how do we deal with the maybe the hate or the persecution that you might face, the insults because of your faith in a Christ-like way? Because here's the thing is, when we face these things, and remember, Timothy didn't say if, he said you will, right? So when we face these things, we want to deal with them, respond in a Christ-like way, amen? We want to respond and deal with it in a way that honors Jesus. Because it'd be pretty silly. Let me just be straight with you. It'd be pretty silly if someone persecutes you or speaks lies about you or hates you because you're following Jesus, and then you respond to them in a way that doesn't follow Jesus at all. Kind of ruins the point, doesn't it? Might as well just not follow him. Don't have to worry about the persecution. Hey, right? Hey, let's make it easy, right? No, when we face these things, we want to respond in a way that honors God, that honors Jesus. So how do we do that? Number one, here's what I'll say. If you're taking notes, and you can text that number to get the notes if you haven't already. If you're taking notes this morning, though, number one, here's what I'll say. You're facing what you might think is persecution, or what you might think is insults because of Jesus. Number one, this one's going to be the one we probably like the least. Check your own heart and check your own actions. You're facing what you think is persecution. Check your heart first. Check check your actions first. You say, why do I say that? Well, remember, there's two key phrases that Jesus gave us. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed when they speak every kinds of evil against you because of me. I wasn't looking forward to this sermon for two reasons. Number one, no one likes to talk about persecution, and if you do and you get excited, there might be something wrong with you, okay? Like, let's be honest, right? Just playing, kind of. But number two, the reason why I wasn't looking forward to this sermon, and this is the one that kind of might hurt your feelings, is over the last few years, especially the last two or three years in our country, Christians have been really quick to claim persecution and get our feelings hurt over stuff that ain't persecution. If someone disagrees with you, we're quick to go, persecution! Come on, man. We're quick to have a hot take opinion, and I'm trying to tread lightly because I want to be kind. We're quick to have a hot take opinion about politics or things going on in our world, a very strong hot take opinion. And then when people disagree with us, we get real mad and we call it persecution in Jesus' name, and it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. And so the first thing we need to do if we feel like we're facing persecution is we need to check our own actions, because if we're being a jerk and calling it Jesus, and it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, you ain't being persecuted because of Jesus. You're being persecuted because you're being a jerk and somebody called you out on it and you don't like it. So we got to check our hearts constantly. It always starts with self-examination. Self-examination. Because I want to clarify that being a jerk and calling it Jesus and having people not like you is not the same as living a life that reflects and honors Jesus and having people not like you. Those are different things. Those are different things. So the first thing we have to do, if someone rises up against you, someone comes up against you and they're persecuting you or they're insulting you or they're lying about you, the first thing we need to do is do a self-examination. You might even ask some friends, say, give me some wisdom here. Am I living for Jesus? Am I representing Jesus well? Am I following what Jesus teaches well? Am I following the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount? And is that why people are persecuting me? It starts with self-examination. Am I living what Jesus calls me to? And in doing so, that's why people are coming against me. It always starts with self-examination. Excuse me. And then if we do that and we realize, yeah, you know what? I'm walking with Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm doing everything I can to be Christ-like in this situation, or people are coming against me. Then number two, what we do is we endure. We endure. What I mean by endure is we rely on Jesus to help us keep walking through it. Because if your house is built on sand, Jesus teaches, that house will crumble. And when you face persecution, you face people coming against you because you're following the name of Jesus and following Jesus' calling. If your house is built on sand and that foundation is not firm in Jesus, your foundation will crumble. Amen? But if that house is built on the rock, if you rely on Jesus, if you trust in him and you say, Jesus, you got to be the one to help me get through this, you will stand. Romans 15:5, and this is in the notes, Billy, sorry. But the author of Romans says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. When we're facing persecution, we're facing difficult seasons, or we're facing people coming against us because of our faith in Jesus, we rely on the Holy Spirit, we rely on Jesus, we trust in him to give us endurance and encouragement, because let's be honest, that walk through persecution, it ain't easy, is it? It's not easy. It's hard, and the things that Jesus calls us to are not things that we're able to do in our own strength and our own power, and we must trust in, rely in, put our eyes on a Jesus who can strengthen us and help us walk through and help us endure. Help us endure. Because what Jesus calls us to when we face persecution, to be honest with you, ain't humanly natural. It's countercultural. It goes against everything that we naturally want to do. Somebody persecutes you or talk lies against you, well, you want to smack them. Let's be honest. You want to say, no, I want my rights. No, I need you to hear my, no, I need to, we want to stand up and make the truth told. And sometimes there's a chance for that. But some things that Jesus calls us to when we face things like that ain't humanly natural. And so we must rely on, trust in, and put our eyes on a Jesus who can show us the way through. The right way through that honors our God. We got to worship him. We got to spend time in his word. We got to hang with other Christians that can build us up and help us. And then number three, number one, we got to check our hearts. Number two, we endure. We put our eyes on a Jesus to help us get through. Number three, you're not going to like this one. Sorry. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. And we've got to ask Jesus to help protect our heart from hate and bitterness against those who come against us. Because again, what good is it? What good is it if we're following Jesus and someone comes against us because of our following Jesus with our lives, and we allow our hearts to be corrupted with hate and bitterness towards that person, everything that is against the gospel of Jesus. Everything that Jesus did. As a matter of fact, goes against everything that Jesus did for us. And in that moment where we're walking and facing persecution or facing people who hate us, the heart naturally turns towards bitterness because we're offended, because we're hurt, because it hurts. But we must do everything, not in our power, but everything trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God our Father in heaven to work in us and to help us and protect our hearts from hardening and becoming bitter towards those people that rise up against us. And in that, when we're able to forgive and forgive and forgive. And I'm not saying stay in a situation. I'm not saying sit there and suffer. But I am saying if you're walking through it, having Jesus help you endure and protect your heart from bitterness and hate, and allowing him to help you forgive that person. Because if you don't, honestly, you lose. And honestly, as you walk, that person, that persecution may leave, but that stays with you. And you carry that with you. And the enemy wins. And if we want to be like Jesus, we must allow him to help shield and protect our hearts from bitterness and hate and to teach us forgive. Amen? And the last thing I have for us this morning, number four, Jesus calls us to do this towards people who persecute you for his name's sake. Pray, bless, and do good for them. Oh, come on, right? I thought it was going to be like, get them, right? Like there's a song, I think somebody sent it to me. Who was it? It was Joel or Billy, one of our pastors. They taught a sermon on forgiveness and they're praying, and there's a sermon or there's a song out there, it's a country song, of course, that it's a guy saying he was mad at his ex-wife and because she had cheated on him, and so went to the preacher, and the preacher said, pray for her. And so he said, all right, I'm gonna pray for her. I pray she gets hit by a truck, I pray this. And you're like, okay. That's not what he's talking about here, okay? So for clarity's sake, for anybody who is like, good, I am gonna pray for him. Get him, Jesus. I pray you get him. That's not what he's talking about, okay? I know many of you are going to go home and Google that song. Okay, I'll send it to you if you need it, right? No, what does Jesus say about dealing with our enemies and people who persecute us? Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, he says, but I tell you, love your enemies. What? How countercultural is that? Pray for those who persecute you. Uh-uh, let's be honest. I said that and some of us went, nuh-uh, I ain't doing it. Holy Spirit, convict them right now. I'm just playing, just kidding. Luke 6:27-28, but I say to you who listen, that's a key phrase, I say to you who are willing to listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. What did he just say? Do good for those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray. What? It's the way of Jesus. It's the way of Jesus. It's the way of being a disciple of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:9, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult. On the contrary, giving a blessing. What? Since you were called for this so that you may inherit a blessing. Hey, that is a promise in that one. Romans 12:17, do not repay evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. That is not easy, is it? That's why we started this part by saying, you got to rely on Jesus. Because I'll tell you this right now, I love you. You do not have the ability to do that in and of yourself. You don't. Maybe I just insulted you, sorry. But you do not have the ability within you to do that of yourself. To pray for those who hate you, to bless those who hate you, to do good for those. As in your human nature, you do not have that ability. You don't. It is only, only, only through the power, the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so as you hear these words, I'm not telling you, go out there and do it. This isn't a rah-rah speech saying, do better, get out there, and you go love on those people who hate you. No, I'm saying, you got to rely on Jesus. And you got to press in Jesus, and you got to put your eyes on Jesus. You can say, Jesus, I want to pray for these people, but I hate them. I want to bless these people, but I hate them. I want to do good, but I hate them. I'm bitter. I'm angry. Jesus, you got to help me. And you know what? He will. He will. He will. He will. He will. But we got to let him go to work in us. We got to let him go to work in us. River Church, stand with me. You know, maybe this was actually a pretty good sermon for Father's Day after all. Because as we try to raise our children and raise those who come behind us, there's going to be people who hate them, and there's going to be people who persecute them, there will be people who speak evil against them if they follow Jesus. And there's a way the world teaches us to teach them to respond, or we can teach them to respond the way Jesus would have us respond. So maybe it's not such a bad idea for us as dads and father figures to hold on to these teachings, amen? That we would teach those who come behind us what it looks like to love and to forgive, to bless those who curse you, to do good for those who curse you, so that they would see Jesus in you. And we're actually going to talk about this more next week, how Jesus uses these things to save souls. But here's the thing, is that there will be people who hate you because you follow Jesus, who hate you because you live this way. But if you respond to them in a Christ-like manner in the way Jesus calls us to, guess what? That hate might turn into salvation. That hate might turn into them going, how is this possible that you live like this? Tell me about this Jesus. And you might get to be the one who leads them to Jesus. Matter of fact, we do baptisms up here. You might be the one who gets to baptize them. How cool is that? How incredible would that be if that person in your life that maybe you're thinking of right now who persecutes you or hates you because you follow Jesus, that they may see your example and their life has changed because of it. And then you get to talk to them about how that's even possible. God is good, amen. Let us be like Jesus. That's all we want. As men, as dads, as fathers, as wives, as ladies, as kids, let us just be like Jesus. Band's going to come and we're going to sing another song and worship. And I would just encourage you to respond to Jesus however you need to. Maybe as we're talking about this, you're thinking about, yeah, there's this person and they're just on me, man. And maybe there's whatever, I'm struggling with bitterness. I do hate them, but I need Jesus to help me. You can come down to these altars right here. You can pray. You can talk to Jesus. You can pray right there in your seats. Whatever you need to do, respond to Jesus. Amen? And then as we're doing that and singing, the guys are going to walk down. They have communion. And if you would like to take communion as we worship, you do that and just honor and praise Jesus' name for the salvation that we have available to us, okay? So we're going to take the next few minutes. So we're just going to worship Jesus. We're going to respond to Jesus. We're going to honor Jesus, okay? God, I love you. Thank you for this place. Thank you that you teach us a different way. Thank you that you teach us a better way, a way that is blessed. I pray that you would give us the strength to endure, the strength to rely on you, the strength to be like you, Jesus. And I pray for anyone in this room who's dealing with bitterness or hate or anger towards someone or walking through maybe persecution right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit healing power would just be on them right now, Jesus. That you would work in their lives, that you would set them free, that you would enable them and allow them to love like you, to forgive like you, that they would see healing in their lives, Jesus, that they would be like you. It's in Christ's name we pray, and everybody said, amen.